I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Why do you trust your truth? You better have a good reason. We're going to work on that. First, though, before we get to that, we have to answer the question that is behind that question. And it's a huge question. It's the same one that was posed by Pilate after Jesus keeps frustrating him with all these unwanted answers to all his questions. And then Pilate says, "What is truth?" Now that is a good question. That is a vitally important question, because regardless of each individual's answer, the truth that we live by is the same truth that we're going to die for. And even though truth has always been a matter of life and death, it is more critical to question it than ever before, because it's never had so many different meanings. In today's world, you can define it so many different ways. But still, kind of this week, I went through a lot of this trying to hammer down exactly what it is that we can agree on. And in its most broad and basic sense, I think most generally believe truth is the quality of reality, whatever that is. It is the ultimate explanation of why everything is the way that it is. And every single answer that accurately adds to and agrees with that explanation is under truth's umbrella, and it's part of it. Okay, and that's a mouthful. I understand that. That's a lot to wrap your noodle around this early in the morning. So let me give you a little example. For example, if I walk to my car after service here this morning, and I arrive to find a brand new dent in my driver's side door, right? It's safe to say that something happened, right? Something happened. I got a few ideas on who it was, Gabe. I saw you here. But something happened. Now, there are limitless explanations for what might be true, right? Another door might have dinged it. A bouncing ball might have bumped it. Hey, you know, an invisible unicorn might have kicked it. Could be, right? Whatever. A lot of things might have happened. But mights don't make things right. Okay, that doesn't, just because you can think it up doesn't mean that it's true. In reality, there's only one story that explains what actually went down. And that's the truth right there, what it was, what actually went down. It's the authentic story that is behind reality. What we're doing here, what happened? Like the dent in my door, you and I are part of that reality. There's some truth behind us. We're here. And so we all want to know the actual story behind us. Now, the problem that we run into right here is that we weren't there. We didn't see it. We don't know how we got here. We don't know everything that's beyond us. So to find the truth, we need a witness. We need somebody who was there, somebody who saw it, somebody beyond us. And it has to be somebody that we trust, because all truth worth believing starts with a witness that is worth trusting. So when it is something in your life that is beyond you, ask yourself this: who's your go-to truth guru? Who's that person? Who's that authority? Who do you go to? Who do you trust as an authority on the truth? Is it just what you read on Facebook? Ooh, you're in trouble. That's no good. Who is that person? Whatever, wherever it comes from. I'll tell you this, since you're sitting in a church, let's just assume that you all said Jesus. Good job. Good job. You said Jesus, he's your authority. That's a great choice, because he himself assures us. He says straight out, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. What a witness. That's what he's here to do. Everyone on the side of truth, he says, listens to me. And so right there, that's when Pilate asked his question and said, what is truth? And poor Pilate, I feel so bad for the guy, because if he had a copy of John's gospel, he could have just flipped four chapters back and had his answer, because Jesus said just four chapters earlier, very plainly, I am the way and the what? Yes, he is. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And right there with that answer, Jesus is doing something huge. He's confirming the truth that we can trust isn't a what, it's a who. And that makes sense. We get that. It has to be a who, because when the truth we need goes beyond what we can see, well, we have to rely on someone else's sight. And so he says, who's that going to be? And we all got to pick. And so the biggest battles in our world are always over who gets that trust. Who do we trust as that reliable witness to tell us what the truth is? We make them our authority, and that's huge. And that's huge because our authorities on truth have authority over our whole lives. And it's a simple equation, usually, that puts them in that place. They get into that position because the power we perceive determines the authority we allow. Right? We see them as a certain thing, and so then we obey it as an authority over certain areas of our life. It's why we pull over for police. Right? We know that they have some authority. It's why we pay taxes to the government. And it's why we buy whatever it is that celebrities say. We'll just do it. Sure thing. I want to be like Brad Pitt. So to know why we trust the truth we do, we really need to ask ourselves this question. Whose power is behind our belief? Right? Who's that witness? Who are we trusting? Because as much as we all want to say it is God himself, how do you know that you're trusting the real deal? How can we be sure of that? Because it could be an imposter imitating, right? Well, I tell you, luckily, Paul has this plan that he throws at all of these sort of... Paul's plan to find phonies is simple. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. What passes the test? Okay, well, that's simple. Let's see if we can do it, okay? We're going to test some authorities. I got three clips of different authorities, and I want you to spot the fake. Okay, are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. Thad is. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I want y'all to fake it like Bruce. That was wonderful. Okay. These are going to be three clips. I want you to spot the phony. Wake up. Here we go. Okay. Here's number one.
Hey there, buddy. So just how many crazy pills did we eat today? Because I literally just clocked you at 1,000,000 miles per hour.
Okay. All right. Number two.
Okay. Listen up. Americans don't have a choice. Either you decide to pay your taxes or not. Jeez Louise, people. It's just that simple.
Okay. And number three.
I'm not generally the church-going type. But I got to say, that Noah Richards is probably the best pastor that I've ever heard preach.
I think I know which one I want to be true. Ain't that something, huh? Okay, so which one do you think is fake? What, one, two, or three, which one's the fake?
Three.
Who, what? Did some of you think three was real? I wish I know. Okay, here's the deal. They're all fake, all right? I made them with AI, artificial intelligence. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will, because boy, that was convincing, right? And I would love to be able to believe those things, especially what old Morgan Freeman said, but I just don't think we're allowed to. We don't get to trust that. And the point of all that is this. Us humans aren't great at testing truth. All right, we can be duped by that. Because of our limited abilities, it's difficult to detect the frauds and the forgeries and the phonies. And so, this world is full of opportunistic people willing to lie and cheat to earn our trust and take our power. Believe me, I'm tempted to post Morgan Freeman on Facebook. That would do a lot for me. But I can't because that's wrong, right? Right? I'm not allowed. Okay, no, I just wanted to make sure. If you said okay, I might do it. Anyway, so listen, I mean, that obviously we can't follow these fake authorities, but no wonder false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Of course, because it's a way to take that power and that authority. And since we only see part of the picture, I'm sorry to say, but deception is not just possible, it is trending. Right? We love it. We celebrate it. Look at how easy it was for me to deceive you. And if signs and wonders can be faked or falsified, we must learn to better discern trustworthy truth. Because otherwise we could be getting duped, even when you think you're following the Lord. Now, the good news is this, okay? God's got a perfect training plan to help you grow in that discernment. The bad news is it's equal parts loving and painful. And here's an Old Testament hint on how God handles misplaced trust. Back then, he said, "My people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Okay, wait a second right there. It sounds like he's saying, does he give up on us? Does he give up on us? No, you wish he did. It'd be a lot easier, but he does not. This is just the tack that he takes when we won't trust his truth. Because as much as it pains him to pain us, oh, you better believe that he will let us live out our lies just to prove that they shouldn't be trusted. Oh, that's rough. It's just like a child believing that it's a good idea to eat ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if they won't trust dad that it shouldn't be that way, well, there's always one way to prove the point. Let them do it, right? I don't know if you, or there's always those parents that are like, caught you smoking. Smoke them all, tough guy, right? It's a thing that does. It turns you over to it. You think that that's going to work out for you, then he's going to let you do it. And eventually, after eating all that ice cream, the tummy ache of truth is going to teach us who to trust, right? I want you to lock that in, all right? That's us. That is us. We are all his dumb kids, and we just want our ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We want the truth. We want his truth. We want to know it all, and we want it on our terms, when we want it, and we want it with sprinkles. That's us. We want him to prove himself before we give him our trust. Just like when the Jews responded to Jesus asking, okay, you know, you say you're the Messiah, you're gonna, well, what sign can you show us to prove your authority, you know, to us to do all this? And Jesus answered them in their childish me first mentality. And he said, all right, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. And they replied, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? Ridiculous. And simply by letting them believe that's what he meant, then he, by doing that, he gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Because right in that moment, they trusted in their limited understanding more than his authority. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. They didn't ask. They thought they had it all figured out. They just didn't come to him. And now, in addition to missing the miracle that would have proved the truth that they wanted, their stubborn hearts won't just ache from living a lie without that knowledge. They're actually going to spread the pain by actually killing the truth. Because later on, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. That was their agenda. They wanted to do it. Talk about confirmation bias. They're just like, what lie can we make up to get it done? But they couldn't find any, though many false witnesses came forward. But then finally, two came forward, and they didn't lie, but they didn't have the truth. Two came forward and declared, well, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And it was those misheard, mishandled words that started Jesus on that path toward the cross. So look, real truth really is a matter of life and death. And by continuing to let us believe the deceit of our own stubborn hearts, Jesus is proving that he would rather die then let us have his truth on our terms. He will not submit to us. And that's huge. Do you know why? Because the last time someone went after that knowledge without trusting God's authority, it was Adam and Eve. And the fruit of that mistake caused more than just a tummy ache. It separated us from God. He can't let that happen. Because God loves us too much to let us repeat that mistake. You can't have it. Trust first. So what do we do here? Well, we got to figure out a way to trust first. We got to flip the script. We got to let Jesus flip the script. This way, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him first. Then he will make your paths straight. I got to tell you, This is what kept me out of the church for years and years. I fancied myself a man of science, and I thought, I'm going to build the case that makes it true, or I'm not going. And I kept expecting him to prove it to me on my terms, and he just wouldn't do it. And then one day I gave up. I surrendered. I said, fine, you're true. I'm going to just live like that. And I got everything I ever wanted and then some. He wants your trust first. Then he'll make your path straight. Back in that garden, we acted as the ultimate authority. When we took his truth, crunch, 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 before giving him our trust, we said that we think that we know better. So now, to undo that, to fix us, it's up to us to prove it's his power we're actually putting in authority. And to do that, we just got to do a simple thing. We got to give God our trust before we have his truth. Okay? Just follow him. You know what we call that, by the way? Faith. All right? That's the big reveal here. Faith. That's what we have to do. We just have to say, I don't know, but I know that I don't know, and I know that you do know. We got to be just like his disciples, because I'll tell you, in this same story, these kids, his disciples, these young kids, they heard the same strange claim about destroying and then restoring the temple. But instead of assuming that they understood the truth behind his words and getting all uppity and huffy about everything, instead they trusted Jesus first and waited until something apart from their own heart made it make sense. And guess what? One day after Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said about the temple. And they were like, this is what it means. And guess what? Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. Up until then, they trusted. But in that moment, they got to see it for themselves, because they didn't think that they didn't make it up. Up until that point, all they knew for sure was that they didn't know. And until Jesus himself proved that he was the one behind any belief, they knew that all they could do was trust. And so that's all they did. That's our example. Trust what you can't see. That's why he's your witness. And I know that's hard. It's hard for a lot of us. We want to see it to believe it, right? That's humans in a nutshell. But you know how the disciples were able to do it? That supernatural trust when everybody else failed? Did you know that we can just ask them? Because John was one of them. So let's ask, John, how did you guys do it? Okay, he tells us right here. Well, we know and rely on the love God has for us. Because get this, God is love. Booyah. There it is. That's the secret sauce to this whole enchilada, guys. That is it in a nutshell. If we want a truth that we can trust with our stubborn and self-centered human heart that is full of deceit, it's got to be as unfakeable as it is unbreakable. And try as we might, nobody can counterfeit true love. And do you know why? It's just too big, because love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, at all. It rejoices with the truth and always, always, without exception, always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And most importantly, here's the quality that you just can't fake. Love never fails. Now, where there are prophecies, they will cease, right? Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But not love. Not love. And I don't know if you caught this, but God is love. And because God is love, that means, guess what? He's all of those things. He's patient. He's kind. He doesn't boast. He's always, always all of those characteristics all the time. And almost everything on earth can be faked with a forgery. From friends and flowers to fidelity and faith. You can fake them all. But all phonies eventually fail. They do. They have the seeds of their own destruction in them. They fall apart. That's if it's not real. And due to all of those different dimensions that have to be flawlessly fulfilled on an ongoing, everyday basis, true love is too perfect to make pretend. And because God is love, we can just swap that out right there. So is God. God is too perfect to make pretend. Especially the way it won't pass away, but actually grows in depth. True of love, true of God. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Wow. So you get it. The real power behind the real deal isn't a show of force. It's an act of love. That is the key. Love. This is what we're, the whole sermon, this is what we're coming to right here, guys. That's what we should be looking for. If we want to authenticate his identity, it's the love. It is the love. Remember how easy it was to call Morgan Freeman a fraud? It was really easy, right? Because appearances are easy to fake, but character isn't. And comparing who we knew Morgan Freeman to be with the things that he said, it was easy to call shenanigans on the false Freeman. Because I don't think he knows Noah. Why would he say that? That's ridiculous. That doesn't fit the character of who I believe him to be, even though it sounded like him. Well, likewise, God's faithful. No, true love is his character's telltale trait that cannot be faked. Yes, that is it. It is so hard. It is so true. You have to look for the love. The more familiar we become with who he is and how he loves, the more skilled we'll be at detecting his truth, because God's supernatural love leaves his fingerprints all over reality. That's how you know he was there, how he was a part of it. So if we want to trust that the God of the universe is behind something that we believe, we gotta look for the love. Okay? That's what it comes down to. Listen, how will they know us? How will people know the followers of Jesus? They'll know us by our love. Love is the defining characteristic. And when you do it God's way, when you see it from God, you cannot counterfeit it. Because love is all God ever writes, and he's the author of the entire universe. And it's never failed. It's always been perfect love. Now, the flip side of that, however, is if you can't connect any explanation to some expression of God's love, then you better call it into question. Don't call it truth. If it doesn't have God's love all over it, if it's not saturated in God's love, you better question it and say, I'm not sure if that's true. Don't accept it. Don't accept any answer until you see that love from God, because if it's true, it's in there. Even though we want to, sometimes it's hard for us, especially when your impatience is keeping you from being impartial. You just want to believe something so much. Be like the disciples, slow your roll, wait on the Lord. He will prove his truth. But remember, God can't prove himself on your terms, because making you the boss throws everything off and keeps us all out of his kingdom. That's how we got kicked out in the first place. But when we see that even getting kicked out and the way and turning us over to our own hearts, all this stuff is still how he's loving us. Making us wait is still how he loves us. Well, then we should be thankful, and we should at least love the Lord enough to finally hear him out on his terms. Stop talking. Stop thinking that you know it. Stop telling him it took 46 years to build. There's no way he can do it. Just listen to him. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Because those who love him get to hear it all. They get it all, because we can't know what we don't know, but we do get to know his love, and that's the connection to the truth. And if we ever feel the sting of our own stubborn heart listening to one of this world's lying leaders, then just remember this. At any given point, we can flip the script at any time and just stop right there and give God our trust and let him lead our life. And from that moment on, we get to know that truth is on the way, on his terms, as part of our dad's loving plan. And that way, here's the good news, guys. We're guaranteed to get all the ice cream that God wants to give. And we will never, ever have another one of those lessons from the tummy aches of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, boy, we sure do love you, and we give you our trust as we patiently wait to see the fullness of your truth. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us past our stubborn hearts' deceitful desires so that we can see who's behind our belief. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for proving your power through the sacrifice of your true love. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.